For tonight, we thank you for your presence already with us. We thank you that you initiate, that you provide, that you surprise us. We just thank you for everyone who's gathered today, and especially those who came hungry, those who came with faith, for they understood that without faith it's impossible to please God. Because those who come before you must believe that you exist and that you reward those who earnestly seek you. So I just thank you for the level of hunger and faith. And I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the U.S. and around the world. Lord, you are marvelous in all your ways, even in ways that seem strange. You are so marvelous. So we pray, Lord, that you would meet us deeper. You're already meeting many of us. We thank you for the shalom indeed. Shalom in our spirits, in our hearts, by which we hear that voice that says all is well. We thank you for the promised joy tonight. We thank you for the supernatural joy that you are going to imbue. Thank you for the hope that you're going to release. We thank you for the love that you're going to pour out. You're going to show who you are, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. In some ways, Lord, we've been waiting for a night like this. And we know there are many more nights like this and days to come. This is the early spring rain. This is the early bubbling brook, and it's going to start in churches like this. It's going to overflow its banks and touch the cities and the nations and people who have no idea who God is, and you will touch them as well. So you will have your way, but it's got to begin someplace. And it's going to begin in the house of worship. It's going to begin in the house of prayer. It's going to begin when hungry people gather together, just wanting more of you. That's where it's going to begin. It's not going to end there, but that's definitely where it's going to begin. And you will use the hungry ones who've been waiting for you. You will use them to be like the ushers at a movie theater. You're going to help them, help the guests be seated. So you're going to train us. So I thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord is already here. Some of you are already feeling it. And as I look around and some of you are a little bit disengaged, that's just typical, you know. But whether you're disengaged or tired, there isn't much you're going to do tonight to scare away God's presence, you know. Sometimes we can scare away His presence, especially like unbelief, you know, because our God is an interactive God, you know. He's a personal God. And we know that in faith, our faith draws Him, right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so it's really faith. The question I want us to begin with is, why are you here? Why are you here? Some of you got my email, and you may be here for this. The oil. Definitely not here for me, so I don't have to worry about that. It's amazing. I've been in prayer after I pick up Suzanne here and there, and he said, "Don't, John, don't Don't talk too much. And he said the oil will flow. Watch out for the women. They're going to flow with oil. And so I feel like the anointing, the revival, God's not, he doesn't show favoritism in the way that we do. But there's a way that the Lord tends to work. He tends to work with the humble. He tends to work with the overlooked. He tends to work with the oppressed. He tends to choose places like Dalton, Georgia. Dawsonville, Georgia. Dalton, Georgia is the oil people, and Dawsonville, Georgia is the water people. Yeah, that's what our friend Pastor Sin calls them, oil people and water people. And so some remarkable things are happening in northern Georgia. Somebody emailed me, I think just yesterday, this has been going on for a year, 2 years. How come we don't know about it? And I think part of it is they just kept it really quiet. They're just humble people, country people. They have zero interest in making a name for themselves or making money or becoming famous. They're just humble and hungry for God. And if there's a lesson in that, it's just be hungry. Just hungry. God sees every heart. God sees every person here. And so as you listen to me, I'm not going to talk that much, as the Lord instructed me. As you get prayer tonight, just focus your attention on Jesus. That's why we are here. That's the answer. That's why we're here. Just a little background, I do want to read something from the oil people. Okay. My message today is mainly reading. All right. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the volume of the oil does not match the global demand that we receive through email, mail, phone calls, and internet requests. We feel the Lord has directed us to focus oil distribution on the events where we can minister and pray for people as well as give them oil. We continue to give every bit of oil the Lord supplies. Yeah. We know that God is a miracle working God and is healing and restoring people all over the world without the oil. So that's the first thing. Okay, God's doing an amazing thing without the oil. He is the one who heals, and the oil is there to strengthen our faith in Him and His love for His children. So this oil is a faith builder. More important than the oil is your faith. Even if you are surrounded by a crowd of unbelievers, your faith will draw the anointing power of Jesus. So it's not who you're surrounded with. It's your hunger, it's your faith. And you think, if I touch Jesus tonight, I'm going to get what I need. We pray God will pour out His grace on your life today. And so, these folks, tell a little story. I'm just going to read it so you have some background. So, 2014, 2016, a small group of us with no agenda gathered weekly for prayer and fellowship for a couple of years. We would get together, share scriptures, share prayer requests, pray, worship God until He was through. After about 6 months, these times of coming together began to intensify. They just gathered together, read scripture, and prayed. In the fall of 2016, the Lord began to give us markers. First, we believe He told us that He would give us more instructions after the presidential election. When the election was over, He instructed us to live, eat, and breathe. Romans 12:1-2, which says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. From November 2016 to January 2017, our time together became more focused. The Lord again spoke to us in January and He said He would show us after the inauguration what He had been preparing. The inauguration was on January 20th. We gathered together on Monday evening, the 23rd. Normally our times together would end between 8:30 and 9. That night was different. Intercession and worship were very intense. Jerry, this is the man with the Bible, was on his knees praying. Johnny and Leslie laid hands on him. I guess they're the church leaders. And began to pray. Jerry fell on the floor and stayed there for about 45 minutes. Johnny and Leslie went over to the couch and did the same with Joyce, Jerry's wife. After praying, Joyce said the Lord had done something so deeply in her that she would never be the same. We continued worshiping until around midnight. Jerry and Joyce were so affected by what happened on Monday night that they stayed home the rest of the week reading their Bibles, praying, and worshiping God. Friday morning, January 27th, this is 2017, Jerry's granddaughter and great-granddaughter came to visit. When they left, Jerry picked up his Bible to read. He had been reading in Psalms all week. His Bible fell open to Psalm 39, and he noticed a wet spot on the page that had soaked through to Psalm 63. He asked Joyce if the great-granddaughter had spilled something on his Bible. Joyce told him the baby had not anything to drink. Later that afternoon, Jerry and Joyce took the Bible over to Johnny and Leslie's home. They all agreed it was oil. Over the next couple of weeks, the oil moved through the Bible from Psalm 39 through the book of Revelation and even into the back of the Bible on the maps and the concordance. The oil stopped and then appear at the front of the Bible in Genesis 1. It continued to move through the Old Testament to where it started in Psalm 39. It then began to saturate the whole Bible. Jerry placed the Bible in a gallon-sized Ziploc bag. When the oil began to fill the bag, he then placed the bag in a plastic container. Once in the container, the oil began to flow even more, filling that container. April 2017 till now. The Bible is now in its fourth container. As the container fills up, Jerry takes the oil and puts it in containers until we get together and fill vials. We believe the Lord has instructed us to not advertise, to not market the oil, to not knock on the doors, and to not try to convince people what it is. His word to us was to give the oil away so He can replenish it. He instructed us to share the story, share His word, give the oil away, and the miracles will happen outside the building. And they have. His word, the church is leaving the building. The oil has gone all over the world. We have given away over 150,000 vials. It's over 200,000 now. We receive testimonies every day of the miracles God is performing in the marketplace, in the hospitals, in the workplace, in the streets, in almost every country of the world. The church has left the building. It's such a humble thing that if you have a little bit of unbelief, you can just say, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's so easy to walk away. Our friend Shin was down and the oil people took their oil and Bible and met the water people. And he saw the Bible. One of the remarkable things about the Bible is with regular oil, the print would erase, the Bible would disintegrate, but it's in perfect condition. I was curious, Lord, why did you begin with Psalm 39? Why did you end with Psalm 63? I want to read this. I think there's instruction here. It's not random. Psalm 39. I said, this is David, I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. So I remain utterly silent, not even saying anything good, but my anguish increased. My heart grew hot within me. While I meditated, the fire burned and I spoke with my tongue. Show me, Lord, my life's end and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You have made my days a mere handbreadth. The span of my years is as nothing before you. Everyone is but a breath, even those who seem secure. Surely everyone goes around like a mere phantom. In vain they rush about heaping up wealth, without knowing whose it will finally be. But now, Lord, what do I look for? My hope is in you. Save me from my transgressions. Do not make me the scorn of fools. I was silent. I would not open my mouth, for you are the one who has done this. Remove your scourge from me. I am overcome by the blow of your hand. When you rebuke and discipline anyone for their sin, you consume their wealth like a moth. Surely everyone is but a breath. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for help. Do not be deaf to my weeping. I will dwell with you as a stranger, as all my ancestors were. Look away from me that I may enjoy life again before I depart a man no more. It's a psalm of discipline, but suffering and longing and hope. I think that's a picture of where we are. For many of us, we start with struggles and suffering. But then when we read Psalm 63, we read the following. You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live. And in your name I will lift up my hands. I will be fully satisfied as with the riches of foods. And with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Those who want to kill me will be destroyed. They will go down to the depths of the earth. They will be given over to the sword and become food for jackals. But the king will rejoice in God. All who swear by God will glory in him, while the mouths of liars will be silenced. Right, that longing of hope David finds himself in the presence of God, the glory. He's there to behold it. So I think it's a picture of many of us from a place of suffering and longing, hoping in God, arriving at that place where we behold His glory and beauty and power. I'm going to share one story and we're going to start praying for people. This is related. Things are happening in Georgia. This past Tuesday, I heard a testimony from a pastor's wife who's Syrian. She had shared the story of mission work in Syria before the Syrian work, and the mission work was usually done undercover so that the missionaries would be kept secure. But after the Syrian government kicked out the missionaries, she and her husband were the only ones left, and so they decided the way we're going to do missions ministry is out in the open. We're not going to fear our life. We're going to trust Him. We are going to be zeros. And so they held a big event. They wanted to show the Jesus movie. So they rented out the large theater in downtown Damascus. And the man, the pastor, went to the secret police and said, "I'm going to be showing a movie called Jesus. There might be some crazy fanatics at this movie theater, so I would like for you to come and protect me from the fanatics." So the secret police followed him, and they showed a movie to 7,000 Syrians. They distributed Bibles. Many people came to faith. A little while later, she and her husband thought about, inspired by a movie, to make a movie, a docudrama, since there's been such bad press about Syria and terrorism. They just thought, this is not it. Syria is in the Bible. Damascus is named. The name Straight Street in the Bible is still there. Straight Street in Damascus is still there. So they wanted to make a movie about Jesus and Paul on the road to Damascus. But they had no money. No money to hire actors. Nevertheless, they sought out actors, famous Syrian actors who were Christians, Orthodox Christians then. And when they asked them to be a part of the movie, but they won't be paid, all the Christian actors said, "No, we're not going to do it without pay." So the man and the wife prayed some more and said, "Let's reach out to the Muslim actors. Tell them about the story. We want to say something good about Syria." And they hire 119 Muslim actors who acted for free and made the movie in 10 days. They told the movie to Bashar Assad, the president of Syria. He watched a clip of it, liked it, and he said, "I am going to premiere the movie in the opera house in Damascus, and I'm going to invite the embassy." 1,350 people showed up. She said, "It's not all like this. It's also dangerous." She said her husband's been shot at. In one particular case, a sniper shot at him, and the bullet stopped right before it hit his face, and the bullet dropped to the ground. And she said, "You know, it was a Russian bullet. It expired." And so everyone kind of laughed. Now, she was sharing with traditional Baptists, and I was looking around, and I could tell those stories didn't quite fit into their worldview of a supernatural God. And then she closed out her testimony with some phrases that really moved me. That's related to what we're doing here and what's happening in Georgia. She said what we needed in Syria was not more programs. We didn't even need more money or evangelism. We wanted the glory to come back to the church. We wanted the glory to come back to the church. And that's what the Georgia thing is. That's what the oil is. That's why you are here. You're not here for a program. What we need, what we want, is for the glory to come back to the church, the glory of His presence to come back into our lives. Yeah. And when we find ourselves in God's glory, then we allow Him to minister to us in all the broken areas. It's the glory that we need. That glory we call His presence. And so that's what we are seeking. So I'm going to just close out this little prayer. I'm going to have the music going, and we're going to anoint everyone. I give you like a quarter of an ounce on your forehead because I need to save some for Sunday. So God may do a miracle and multiply the oil. So Lord, we thank you. We thank you for each and every one, every person here tonight. We thank you for the glory. We thank you for the glory in Dalton, Georgia, as you anoint oil, as you miraculously, rather, produce oil through this Bible. Oil, the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And what a marvelous symbol of Word and Spirit, your Word of God, the written Word of God, the Word of God and the Spirit. And where there is the Word and the Spirit, there is life. And so, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in Dalton, Georgia. We thank you for what you're doing in this church in Dawsonville, Georgia. When people walk into the baptismal water, they encounter the living God. They see fire, they're touched. And so, Lord, we marvel and we thank you for taking humble people, a humble church, and showing up with your glory. We thank you for what you're doing in the Middle East. We thank you for what you're doing in Syria. We thank you that this pastor and his wife, they lead a church of 1,200 people, 600 are children. Some of the members of the church are now in Sweden. They were refugees. Those people have started, planted 6 churches in Sweden. The refugees from Syria are church planters in Europe. That's what happens when glory comes. Glory comes and your life has changed. You're not running from anyone. You're running in the power of God. And so they've started 6 churches in Sweden, the Syrians have. So that's what the glory can do. So Lord, we thank you for your glory. Thank you for your presence. We just lift up the remainder of our night to you. And we ask, Jesus, that you would show us who you are. And you would touch us. I pray for a good preparation for every one of our hearts. Just prepare our hearts. So as we receive prayer and receive the anointing with this oil, that this oil would simply be a symbol of the reality of the Holy Spirit coming upon us, in us, healing us, empowering us, changing us. Thank you so much, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To facilitate our time together, I'm going to ask our pastors and our elders, active elders, to come on up. We will have a prayer ministry team here. And I'm going to be calling up different age groups. We're going to go, you know, young to old. All right. And so we're going to have a little fire tunnel, and you're going to walk through, and at the end of this short little tunnel, I will anoint you with this oil, okay? And then after you get prayer, if you have time to go back to your seat and just enjoy the Lord's presence, okay? And I feel like, when I say I feel like, I sense that the Lord wants to be with you throughout the evening, not just when you're up here, as He is with you, well, many of you already, but especially after getting prayer, for you to sit and just bask or marinate in God's presence. We're not in any rush, so give yourself the permission to enjoy His presence tonight.